Begin the current Daf Masechtas Chulin Daf Kof Lamed Tes. Begin on the third line down at the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the halacha from the previous Daf, which was explaining the opening halacha of our parak regarding Shiluach HaKein. We said regarding the obligation of sending away the mother bird before one takes the chicks, the halacha said is that it's only b'chulin amalei b'mukdashin, only by unconsecrated birds, but not by sanctified birds. As the Gemara explained the source for that, it's because Shalech Tashlech Esa'im. The halacha is only when you have to send away the mother. When it's sanctified, then you're not supposed to send it away. You actually have to give it to Hekdesh, to the Gizbar, to the treasure of Hekdesh, and therefore the halacha of a Shiluach HaKein would not apply by a bird of Hekdesh. That the Gemara clarifies, it says, Hani Mukdashin Hechadami. How could you have it even conceptualize a case of a Hekdesh bird that if it was Chulin, let's say that there would be an obligation, but now because it's Hekdesh, there's no obligation because you're not fulfilling Shalech to Shalech HaZaim. Says the Gemara, Elim, if you can say he's talking about the Havali Ken Batech Beis of Akdashe. Very simple. He had a nest in his domain, in his house, and he sanctified it. Now it's Hekdesh. Now if he wants to take the eggs, he doesn't have to send away the mother. Says the Gemara, Mi Mechayiv? Even if it was Chulin, even if it was unconsecrated, would this be a case of an obligation of Shiluach HaKein? But Ki Kari Kantzipa, the Pasuk says, when you get a chance upon a nest of a bird, that's when there's obligation. Prat l'mezumen. As we said in the halacha of our mission, that excludes if it's already prepared. If it's something in your domain, then there's no such obligation, even if it wasn't Hekdesh. Eller rather, what are you going to say? No, the chazik ken ba'alma, where he just saw, in general, a nest. Somewhere where it wasn't acquired by him. It's not his eggs. Where the halacha is that, because if it was his eggs, even if it was by default, let's say, if it was a guarded courtyard of a yard of his, which acquires for a person even without his awareness, that would already be considered like it's mezumah, like it's prepared, as the Gemara says in Mamet Sidaf Kav Beis Manas. So we're talking about that. It's not even his, it's not in his courtyard. He sees a nest in general. The Akdashe, and then he sees that nest on the road and he sanctifies it. So here you have where it's not mezumah, but now it's Hekdesh. Says the Gemara, Umi Kaddish, is that a good case? Would that make it sanctified to say, oh, now it's Mokdashin and there's no halacha of Shiluach HaKein? But the Pasuk says in the Yikra, Ish ki yakdash is basic kodesh amrachmanam. This is the prototype the Torah says that if a man's going to sanctify his house as holy, so then the Torah talks about halachas that it becomes hektish. But why is it used when it says basai? Because it's comparing. Ma basai b'shusai, just like a person's home is in his domain and that's what he could be makdish, Avkol b'shusai. Only what's in his domain can be makdish. If he finds some nest on the road which is not prepared, it's not his, he can't sanctify it, so that wouldn't be a case of mukdashin. El rather says the Gemara, Dagbi'inu le'afreichim. Okay, the case would be taught about where he picked up the chicks, he merited in them, Vakdashinu, and he sanctified them. And now that we're saying that the chicks are sanctified, oh, now he's going to be exempt from sending away the mother, because Vahadri Hadrinu. He went and he put the chicks back into the nest, and then the mother came back on. So, although now, seemingly, if he wants to take the eggs, he would have to send away the mother and be the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein. Oh, but now that he already sanctified it, the mitzvah Shiluach HaKein wouldn't apply. That has the Gemara, Hayafil b'chulin nami lemechayiv, but why would that be the exclusion of Hekdesh? Even if it was unconsecrated, the case you just described, he would not be obligated to Shiluach HaKein anyway, because of Tana. Like we learned in the Mishnah later on, the Kuf Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph. Not the less abonim, the Mishnah says, like the case we just described, if a person took the eggs, and then he later put them back into the nest, says the Mishnah, and even if the mother later comes back and now you have a mother bird on the eggs, says the Mishnah, he's exempt from sending away the mother. Why? Because since he already merited in the eggs, even though he put it back, that's already considered mezumen. So this cannot be the case of the exception of Hekdesh, if even by Chulin this would be exempt. El rather says the Gemara, no, the Akbe Le'im. We're talking about where he picked up the mother, the Akdasha, now it's his, now he sanctified it. Vahadri put the mother back on, and that's where the case would be talking about. We have a mother bird that's sanctified on the eggs, and since it's Mokdashin, there wouldn't be Halach of Shiluach HaKein. But that is the Gemara. But Mikara, Ichayivli b'Shiluach. But if that's the case you're describing, so then, from the beginning, when he finds that mother bird on the eggs, which you're saying he picked up the mother bird to sanctify and then put her back, from that moment on, when he found the mother and he picked her up, he's obligated to send her away, mikmei to Akdasha, before he even sanctified her. So therefore, subsequently when he sanctifies her, that's not going to go ahead now and exclude the halacha of the mitzvah, which already started, of Shiluach HaKein. Because the moment he picked her up, he's obligated to send her away. which is on the eggs. So though he picks up, he sanctifies it, put it back down, now that you already had the mitzvah shiloh hakein, even if mekudesh nor excluded, that wouldn't be the case of the exclusion of hektish. Because time like learn the braisa, which regarding the braisa discusses the halacha that mukdashin, something that's sanctified, a carbon, there's no halacha of kis adam, of covering the blood of, even if it was, let's say, a chaya. Because as the Gemara said, pegimel mebeis, when one slaughters a carbon, which is not supposed to, it's supposed to be slaughtered in the Azara, that's a shechita sheneru. It's not a slaughtering that's going to be valid because that kachem is forbidden to have benefit from it. So since it's shechita sheneru, so therefore there's not going to be like a halacha of a shechita to say that the blood, even though generally a chai has to be covered, it wouldn't have to be covered. Now regarding that halacha, Rabbi Yechman Yosef Oimah, he says, like, hikdash chai, if someone first sanctifies a wild animal, the achkach shachta, and then he slaughters it after he sanctified it, so then, like we said, Pata Melchas is going to be exempt from covering it because it's hektish. And when he slaughters it, it's not considered a bona fide slaughtering because it's not permitting it to be eaten. It's forbidden to have benefit. Then it's not going to be what to cover the blood, which is only when you do a shechita. But shachta v'achkeh hektish, and this is the case the Gemara wants to introduce, if, let's say, he first slaughtered it, and only after he slaughtered it did he sanctify it, then chayv l'chas, then he's still going to have to cover the blood. Why? Because the obligation of the covering the blood happened before it was sanctified. And therefore what you see from this halacha is that the initial obligation does not become excluded and get removed once an element that you usually would remove it happens. If it was first sanctified and then he slaughtered, okay, it never started. But if it started, you're not going to exclude it, even though you subsequently is makdish. And therefore, you can't say the case you just described either about picking up the mother, sanctifying, and putting her back, because the moment you pick her up, it's already obligation. And therefore, although subsequently you sanctify her, which would preclude it, you can't exclude it once it was already obligated. So the Gemara says two approaches to explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Rav Amar, he says, it's b'makdish peirish shevachai. So where he sanctifies the product of his dovkat, meaning he sanctifies the young birds in his dovkat for the mizbeach, to be an oilus nedava. And then, when they got older, these birds, these peiris, they were umardu, they rebelled, and they left, and they're not in his domain anymore, and they nested somewhere else. Now, there, initially, when he sanctified it, they were his. So he was able to sanctify them. It's like besa. And therefore, the hektish took effect. So it is mukdashim. The thing is, but now that he finds them, they're not mezumah, they're not prepared, because if they were chulin, they would be obligated because they could fly away and they're not prepared. Now, the reason why he picked the terminology of peiri shavachai, and he didn't just say if he sanctifies the dovecot itself, is because pigeons are only valid as karbanis when they're biyitin b'nei yoinu, when they're young. And as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, Rav specifically said his halacha, of the halacha of Mukdashin of our Mishnah, to qualify, like we said, that you would have sanctified it, but then it's not yours anymore, it'll be like not mezumen, it'll just be found, an ownerless, is only by kachim izmeach. So the way we could have it is only by b'nei yoinu, which is by the yoinu only when it's young. And therefore it says perish ha'vachim. Now, Shmuel Amar, he says, b'makdish tarnugolti lebedek abayis. He says, it's even talking about where someone sanctifies his hen for the temple upkeep, and then it rebels. So he was makdish, it was his, and then rebelled. Now it's not his anymore, it's not mezumen. And then he finds it. That's what we're saying, that by mukdashin there's no obligation of shiluach hakein, of sending away the mother. Now, regarding this machlekes, the Gemara says, bishle mishmul lo emek rav. We understand why Shmuel didn't say like Rav, because the gamukim la b'kachi b'de gabayis. Shmuel wanted to say the halacha of our Mishnah of mukdashin would even be if it has a sanctity of only the temple upkeep. And that's a chiddush, because that only has what's called kedushas dama, monetary sanctity. And still he's saying that type of mukdashin is going to be exempt from shiluach haken, as we explained in the previous daf. Because it's only when shalich tashach, when you're sending away the mother, but when it's hektish, even if it's just hektish damim, you have to give it to the gizbar, to the treasurer of hektish. And therefore, that doesn't apply to the mitzvah shiluach haken. But at L'Rav, my time will be Shmuel. Why didn't Rav say like Shmuel? Similarly, the halacha should be, even by any kachim, even by kachim b'di kabayis. That Rav, but Rav would tell you no. And as we'd explained, because you have to have, as all the cases that we rejected, have to be that it was his to be sanctified, but then it becomes not his anymore. Additionally, it has to become not hektish either anymore to be able to say that this is something that's not owned by anyone, it's not mezumen. So Adam Rav, he says as follows, he says, Davka kapatri mishiluach, you know the case that they said that by mukdashin is going to be exempt from shiluach hakein, is kagoyim perishevach, it's only like the case I described regarding that of the young birds of his dovkat, where the kachim is be'echdenu. Those are cases where they could be karbonas oila of b'nei yoina, and they have physical sanctity, that of being a karbon. Where the kiv and the kachim kedusha is a guf, since it has physical sanctity, so le'poka kedusha sayim inayu. So even when the birds rebel and they go away, it doesn't remove its physical sanctity from it. It's still in the domain of Hekdesh. It's still owned by Hekdesh. So that's a case of Mukdashin where we said that it's precluded from the halacha of Shiluach HaKein. Avol b'makdash tarnagol tila by the gabais. But like the case of Shmuel, when someone sanctifies his hen for the temple upkeep, the lav kachim mizbeach, a hen is not sacrificed in the mizbeach. It doesn't have physical sanctity. The kedush is dam ba'almuhu. It just has monetary sanctity. There says Rav, kiven the mardah, since it rebels, not only does it get removed from the owner's domain, paka kedusha sayu, it removes its sanctity, v'chayev es b'shiluach, and now it's like a regular chulin animal. It's no one owns it anymore. It's whoever ownership, it just is monetary, and just like a person loses it once rebels, so two hectares lose it, and therefore it's like a regular chulin, and therefore you actually would have the obligation of shiluach, and therefore he says it specifically only b'kach mizbech. Now, Shmuel Amar, he would tell you that no. Kolech the Isa, wherever this hen is, even though it only has monetary sanctity, it's in the treasure house of Hashem. Why? Because the pasuk says in Tilim, Lashem ha'aretz amaloya, that the earth is Hashem's and everything that's inside of it that fills it. So therefore, what Shmuel is essentially saying is, it's not lost, because wherever it is, it's Hekdesh's. And therefore, it's in the domain of Hekdesh, so it's not like the way Rav's describing it, oh, that when it rebels, it's like Shina Rishus, it left the domain and it's Hefker. In the case of Hekdesh, no, it never gets removed. It's always in Hashem's property. And therefore, even if it's just Kedushas Dam, it's still in Hashem's domain, and would be still considered a Mukdashin to preclude it from the Halacha of Shiluach HaKein. It says the Gemara, V'chein Amar Bi'ech, and Sotra Bi'ech, and it says like Shmuel, that B'makdash Tanagol to Lebedek Abayis Amar, you could even say that he sanctified his hand for the temple upkeep, and it rebelled. So it's not in the person's domain, so it's not mezumin for him, but it's still considered mukdashin to preclude it from shiluach hakein. On that, Amalei Reb Shimon Melakish, she asked, similar to Rav's opinion, but v'kivin shemarta, but once it rebelled, pakal kedushas, it loses its sanctity. It's not owned, it's ownerless, and therefore it should be obligated. On that, Amalei Reb Yechon said to him, no, be'gazad rachman le'isa, it's in Hashem's treasury. Tachsim l'Hashem aretz malaya, it's in Hashem's house, wherever it is, it's Hashem's, and therefore it never was removed from his domain. Now, however, regarding this machlekes Rabbi Yechon and Shlakish, the Gemara says Veramid Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Yechon. There seems to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yechon's opinion. Veramid Rabbi Shimon and Lakish, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and then you have a contradiction in Rabbi Shimon's, because Didma we learned that they actually both said the opposite in the different machlekes. They said in the case of mana zelabedik abayis, someone says this mana, which is a certain amount of money, he's sanctifying it for the temple upkeep. Now v'nignevu einevdu, and then before the person brought it to the temple treasury, it got stolen or got lost. So what's the law? Rabbi Yechonam, he says, Chayiv b'achri yusin, so the person who sanctified it is responsible to ensure that and for compensation, Achivar l'day gizbar, until it comes to the temple treasury, he's responsible, and therefore, now that it got lost and got stolen, he has to compensate Hekdesh. Rish Lakish, he says, no, kol hecha de isa, wherever it is, he was makdashid, but because of Rachmanis, it's already in Hashem's treasury, the civil Hashem aretz malay, like it says, for Hashem is the earth and whatever fills it in, it's Hashem's. So although it was in his house, Hekdesh already had it. Wherever it is, it's Hashem's, and therefore he's exempt. Says the Gemara, kash de Rish Lakish ad Rish Lakish, kash de Rish Lakish, and here they're saying the exact opposite. Rish Lakish is espousing this concept of Hashem aretz malay, and Rabbi Yechon and not. Says the Gemara, so the Rish Lakish ad Rish Lakish like kasha, because you could say the first teaching was Mekmei Deshavim Rabbi Yechon Rabbe, was before he heard the opinion of Rabbi Yechon and his teacher. Then he understood, like Rav, that since it rebelled, so it's removed from its sanctity, which is only monetary. And that's in domain, and it's not in Hektish's domain anymore. But the second teaching that he quotes in this last machlekes was after he heard Rabbi Yechon's teacher who explained Lashem Aretz Amalaya, so then he accepted from him, and therefore he said, yeah, if someone was makdish and then they got lost, he's going to be exempt, because it was in Hekdishes that it got stolen from, not from him. But Rabbi Yechon, who's the Rebbe, how do we understand him? If he holds Lashem Aretz Amalaya, so how do we understand the second opinion that he says that he's responsible? He says, the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, nam l'kasha. Why isn't that difficult? Because ha de Amar alai. Here, the second machlekes that they had was when the person said, it's incumbent upon me to bring it. Then, when he's separated and he designated, and then it gets lost or gets stolen, even though, yes, Rabbi Yechon holds, bebegaz drachmana, wherever it is, it's Hashem's property. That's not the point. The point is, but he didn't fulfill his vow, as we're going to shortly explain. When someone says a lie, it's taking a neder. It's incumbent upon me, that responsibility. So yeah, it might be in Hashem, but you have the responsibility of bringing it to Hektish. And therefore, he's going to be liable. But Hadam HaRezu, in the first teaching, in the halacha of our context, where he says, well, this is, oh, so then Bebegaz Rechmana, wherever it is, it's in Hashem's property, and therefore, yes, even if the birds fly away, it's still going to be in Hashem's property, it's still going to be considered Mukdashim, and therefore it still would be exempt from the halacha of Shiloh HaKin. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, the way we just explained Rabbi Yechanan, so Mechlad Rabbi Shimon Lakish, or the inference is Rabbi Shimon Lakish, who disputes Rabbi Yechanan, that Avagav the Amr Alai. So you're saying the case of this last Machlaik is when someone is saying, oh, I'm being Makdash this month, Lebed Gabayas. We said for Rabbi Yechanan, the reason why he's going to be responsible is because he says a lie. So it sounds like Rish Lakish, even in the case when he says, on me, that Rish Lakish is saying, Loi Mechayv, it's not going to be obligated. But that's difficult because Vatanya learned, which actually in Mishnah Masechtas Kinim, that says, Ezehu neder ve'ezehu nidavo. What's these two types of giving something to Hektish, one being called a vow, one being called a donation? So the Mishnah explains, neder is when ha'ema ha'rei alai oilas, when someone says, I'm taking upon myself to bring a carbon oila, and then he designates an animal, and he says, okay, this is going to fulfill my vow. Nidava, a donation, is ha'ema ha'rei zu oila. It doesn't say, I'm taking upon myself to bring. It says, this is going to be a carbon oila. Now, says the Mishnah, ma be neder le nidava. So what's the difference between a neder and a nidava? Neder, a vow, is mesa a nignava isha avda. If let's say the animal that he had separated to be for his neder, it died or got stolen or got lost, chayiv b'achriyusa, he's responsible to ensure it, because since originally he had taken responsibility that he's going to bring an animal, so although he designated this one, but then he never brought it, so he's going to be obligated. But nedava, when he's making a donation, when he's saying this should be, so then meisa nignav ishavde, if it dies or gets lost or gets stolen, so in the chabechus, it's not his responsibility. This animal is going to be a carbon. It gets lost, okay, but that he never had the initial responsibility. But one thing you see from this Mishnah is that a neder, and the Mishnah says clearly that the person is chay bechur yusa. And that's the case of a lie. So if that's the case, then you tell me, Rabbi Yechanan says that you are responsible, the Akad Rish Lakish say that he's exempt. So Amalach Rish Lakish would tell you, no. Hanami the kachim is bech. That Mishnah Kinim is specifically a type of kachim that was sanctified, that was physical sanctity, that was mizbeach, like a carbon. With there, the mechusa hakrava. Then when the person says, a lie, I'm taking it upon myself, what he's saying is, it's upon me to bring it to the Azara, because it's not finished yet. He didn't do the full thing that he had committed to, which was to be back of it as a carbon. So as long as he doesn't bring it, yeah, he's chai bachar yusa. But the case he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yechanan, which is regarding the sanctity of the temple upkeep, where it's concluded the moment he separates it, and it's already something that is in the domain of Hekdesh, because there's nothing lacking yet, there's no sacrificing, it's not being sacrificed. So even though he says, upon me, he's not going to be responsible. And oh, but he didn't bring it to the hand of the Gizbar, but that's what Rish Lakish said, but the whole world is Hashem's treasures, because Lashem Aretz Malaya, and therefore he says that you're not going to be chayv. However, now the Gemara asks on this premise of Rish Lakish that he wants to differentiate that although the Mishnah says in Kinim that when you say Olai, that's classically a neder in the person's chayv b'achrayis, however he said when it's Kedushas Damim, then there's no achrayis, because like he says, wherever it is, it's Hashem's, Lashem Aretz Malaya. The Gemara asks what's not. We learned the Mishnah Masechtas Erechin that seems to refute this interpretation. The Mishnah says, someone says, this ox is a carbon oila. Or bay is a carbon. This house is a carbon. Obviously not to be sacrificed in Mizbech, but it means to say like a donation to the Bedek HaBayis, because that could also be called carbon, as we find the Pasuk in Mamin Balamat Aleph, V'nikrav es carbon Hashem ish ashi matzik klei zahav. We find it's called a carbon that which is even a monetary donation, where there was only a monetary sanctity. But either way, if someone is sanctifies these elements, and says the Mishnah, let's say Mesasher, let's say the ox that he designated as a carbon, it dies. Or Nofel HaBayis, the house that he designated as for Bedek HaBayis, the house falls down. In the Chayv Bechur Yusin, there he's not liable, he's not responsible, because that's Zeh, that's like a Nedava. But let's say he says, Sher Zeh Olai Oila, this ox is incumbent upon me to bring as a carbon Oila. Now, although here he says the word Zeh, which is usually the terminology of a Nedava, but since he also says the word Olai, it's incumbent upon him. And therefore, he's going to have the responsibility. So to buy is ze olai carbon. This house is upon me to bring a carbon, meaning to bring it to a donation to the Bedek HaBayis, which is that he has to sell it and bring the monies to the treasurer of Hekdesh. Says the Mishnah, Mesar Shar, V'nofel Abayis, if the ox dies or the house collapses, Chayiv L'shalom, he's responsible to pay. So here you have a case of monetary sanctity, and still says the Mishnah clearly that Chayiv L'shalom, which refutes the previous interpretation of Rish Lakish to differentiate when he says, well, monetary, no, I don't have a Chayiv, because wherever it is, it's Hashem's. Here you see that he's Chayiv L'shalom. Says, well, it's not difficult. Why? Hanamili Hechad the Mesar Shar V'nofel Abayis. Yeah, even though it's monetary sanctity like the house, he's going to be chayav b'achrayis when it's a neder, but that's like the case where the ox died or the house collapsed. Then chayav l'shalom delesnu. He's obligated to pay because it's not around anymore, and therefore he has that responsibility. Aval heichad isnu, but when it's around, for example, let's say money got lost. So then kol heichad isa, wherever it is, then bebe gazad rach money isa. Then it's in Hashem's domain, and therefore, if let's say the one who stole it ends up using it, he committed me'ila because it's on him to now pay to Hekdesh, because wherever it is in Hashem's domain. Like it says, for Hashem is the earth and whatever it's inside of it, and therefore it's still not a refutation of Rish Lakish, because monetary sanctity, yeah, wherever it is Hashem's. And there where we say that, but he's responsible, even though it's monetary sanctity, that's because it's not around anymore. Now it disappeared. Now it's, so to speak, not in Hashem's domain. Then he's going to be responsible. But if it is, wherever it is, it's Hashem's. Now, Amar Rav Avnun, he says, although we just had a machlekes, but he says, Hakol Maidim Ba'arachin. Everyone agrees by an Erech value, which the Torah gives certain monetary value depending on gender and age in the Torah. If someone says, Erech Yalai, I want to give my Erech value to Hekdesh, and then he separates his Erech value, that Avagav de Amar Alai, in this case, even though he says, it's on me, Loi Mechayiv, everyone's going to agree, says Rav Nuna, that he's not going to be obligated, he's not going to be responsible to ensure that even though it didn't get to the hands of the Gizbar yet. My time, what's the reason? Where we had different opinions in the other halachas, whether it's Begazad Rahman or not, here he says everyone's going to agree. Why? Doloi Mitamer Lei B'loi Alai. He says because it's not possible to say a terminology of Erechin, of that obligation, without saying the wording on me. Because if he's not going to say, as the Gemara is going to illustrate right now, a lie, then he never yet took the initial vow of Erech in the first place. So saying a lie is only because to take the vow, but it's not saying it as a responsibility, like was generally you could say zoo and you're saying a lie, oh, you're taking an edder, you're taking responsibility. Here, it's not going to be a terminology of responsibility, it's just a terminology of creating the Erech vow. Because, hey, Chalema, how are you going to say without saying a lie? You're going to say, oh, Lema, say Erki, say my value. And he's not going to say a lie on me. So then, Naman, on who are we imposing that vow to pay? So to Lema Erech Plain, you're going to say, let him say the Erech value of that person. He's not going to say on me. So then, Naman, so who's it on? You have to say a lie just to create the actual Erech vow and not to actually make it as in the halach of Neda of Achrayis. And therefore, he says, saying a lie is not going to make a person responsible. However, on this interpretation of Nuna Maskevla Rava asks, why? Lema Hareini Ba'arki. You could say a terminology that would show that you're taking your Erech vow without a terminology of a lie. Say, I am in my Erech value. Or Hareini be'Erech Plani, I am in the obligation of the Erech of that person. And that wouldn't be saying a lie. And maybe when you say a lie, therefore that is showing responsibility. Boy, Morva says, Rava Tanya, we learned clearly in the Braisa that by Erech and you actually are responsible until it gets to the Gizbar. As the Braisa teaches, Rav Nosson Nami, he says, he quotes a pasuk, which the pasuk simply understood is talking about regarding someone who's redeeming a sadeh mikne, which is an acquired field, which was then makdish, someone sanctified it, and he wants to redeem it from hekdish. So the pasuk says, v'chishav lo ha-kohen, so the kohen will evaluate as michsas ha-erkach ha-chnas ha-yevel, how many years left was there until the yevel year, which that's the amount of value it has prorated based on the amount that it was sold for, because we're talking about a sadeh mikne. And v'nosnes ha'erkecha b'yema hu kodesh l'Hashem, so then he gives that value, that day sanctified to Hashem. And that's how he's going to redeem it according to that ratio, that proportion of the sadeh mikneh that was hokdesh. Now, the pasuk should have written that v'nosn oisai, that he gives it, or v'nosnai. Matam alem, what does the pasuk teach when it says v'nosn es ha'erkecha, that you're going to give its value? So it says Rav Nosson, obviously it's going on something else. It's going on literally the halach of Erechin that the Torah talks about. What's that teaching? So it says Rav Nosson as follows, says Lafisha Mitzinu Behekdeshus Amaisus, because in contrast we find by something that's hektish or by Meiser, where shemeschalun al moy shebechulin, a person could go ahead and deconsecrate the sanctity of that hektish item or the meiser onto money that's unconsecrated. And when he separates it for the redemption, the halacha is as follows. If nignavo isha avdu, if that money is that he separated it onto that now has the sanctity of the previous hektish or meiser, if that gets stolen or lost, the halacha is in chayiv machrius, and he's not responsible for that money that got lost. Why? Because the pasuk says regarding when he redeems it, it says v'yasef chamishes kesef erkach alav, that you can add on another fifth. The person when he redeems these things not only has to give the principal another fifth, v'yahayolai, then it's for him. Now it doesn't say over there a terminology of giving of nesina. Rather, the halach is that the moment he separates him, he says, here it being deconsecrated. So on that, it's now it's erich is that now the money gets sanctified, and the other item now gets removed from hektish to chulin. But that means to say the money that's sanctified now is in the domain of hektish, and now it's hektish's responsibility. So therefore, he's not responsible if anything happens. So therefore, as we continue to come in bay, says Reb Nosson, so yochel avzeh, you would think also over here by erich and kain that the same thing would be, that the moment he separates it, okay, that's now the erich value, and he would be exempt, even though he never gave it to the hand of the gizbar. That's what the pasuk's teaching, v'nosen es ha'erichah v'gaymer, that you're going to give the erich, which the pasuk says is kodesh, which teaches us, chulin, it's considered unconsecrated, meaning the erichin does not become sanctified, like to be considered hektishes, atche yavoyu de gizbar, until it comes to the hand of the treasurer of hektish, which is the moment that it's given. It says v'nosen, you have to give it, and that's how you expound the pasuk, where it's talking about two different ideas. It's talking about the simple understanding where the kohen calculates for the one who's makdish his acquired field, es michsas erkecha, how much is that value, and you have to give it according to that proportion, what you're redeeming from hektish, and that's it. Then it says v'nosen es erkecha, that's going to the laws of erichin. Because if you would think, actually, it's going back on the first part of the pasuk of redeeming hektish. But the pasuk already said, as we mentioned before, when you're redeeming hektish amaisa b'hayolai, it's his without any giving, it's already considered hektishes. Obviously, it's going on erichin, and therefore it's not considered fulfilled his obligation until he actually gives it to the gizbar. But one thing says, the Gemara is obviously is refuting what Rav Nuna had said. You see clearly that no, he is chayav b'achriyusin until he actually gives it. The exact opposite of what Rav Nuna said. So Ella Rather says the Gemara, I idma hochi idma. If we had his teaching, it was exactly the opposite. Amar Rav Nuna, he says, Akol moidim erichin. Everyone agrees by the obligation of erichin. The avagav de loya marlai, that even though he didn't say on me, mechayiv, he is obligated by chriyusin. Because usually it's only when you make a neder of a lie. Here, the Chassid, the Pasuk says in general, when someone takes the obligation of the erich vow, it says, v'nosan es erkecha, you will give the that erich, which is telling you chulin him biyatcha sheyivel de gizbar. That's considered unconsecrated until you actually give it over to the hand of the treasurer, where it says benosan, and therefore everyone's going to hold here. You can be chayav achrayis even without a lie. Now the Mishnah continued regarding the halacha of our perek of our Mishnah of shiluach hakein. The Mishnah said chaymer bekisu. There's a stringency that applies to the mitzvah of kisa adam over that of shiluach hakein luchulu etc. Where one of the stringencies was that shiluach hakein is only by when it's not mizumah, when it's not prepared, in contrast, kis adam is whether the animal is prepared or not. Now, elaborating on the halacha of the obligation of shiluach hakein when it's only when it's not prepared, when it's not the person's, Tanabon Alunda Brisa, the pasuk says in Devarim, ki kari kantzipul of nech, when it happens upon you, a nest of a bird in front of you, then you have the obligation of sending away the mother and taking the chicks. So, matam, what's the pasuk teaching? So lafish, then, because the pasuk says after that shaleich tashalach hasaim, send away the mother and ve'esabonim tikach lach, and then the children you'll take for yourself. Now it says two times shaleich tashalach, so it sounds like that. If I were to hear from those words, I would think that you really have to go and do this. Send it. You must surely send away that a person has to go and seek out that mitzvah until he has the opportunity to do it. So yachol yachse baharim v'gvayis kadeshim tzikain. You would think that you have to go seek in the mountains and in the hills until you found the actual nest. That's what the pasuk teaches, ki yikari, which is b'ma'ar l'vinach, when it happens in front of you. Like the pasuk says, l'kisha yikari, when it just happens. That's why you need that pasuk. When it says, kain, a nest, is mikamakam. It means to say any type of nest. Even if there's only one chick or one egg inside, like we learned in the Mishnah, it already is the obligation of shiluach hakein. When it says, kan tzipar, why say tzipar? It's to tell you, tahar v'lo tameya, to tell you there has to be a kosher species and not a non-kosher, which the Gemara later on, Rabbi Yitzchak will explain, the word oif, bird, is indicated in the Torah whether kosher or non-kosher. But tzipur, we don't find non-kosher, we only find kosher. So the tzipur tells you that the halacha of shiluach hakein is only by kosher bird. When it says, when you find it lefanecha in front of you, what's in front of you? B'shasayachar, in the private domain. Now, although generally private domain is prepared, but it would be like a case of in an orchard or in an unprotected field where even though it's a private domain, the person's courtyard is not going to acquire it for him, so it's not considered mezuman. It would still be ein mezuman, not prepared. When it says, and you find it in front of you, baderach, on the road, that refers to Rishas Rab in the public domain. And Beilonis Minayin, and says the Brayz, how do you know that this obligation also if you find a nest in a tree? Tamalev Mechaleitz, therefore the Pasuk says, in every tree. And Beberish Shich and Ma'aris Minayin, how do you know all different types of pits and diggings in the ground that there also if you find you'd be obligated? Tamalev Me'oyal Ha'aris, that says, or on the ground. Now, says the Brayz of Chima'ach, Ashesefeinu L'Rabbis Kaldovah, so then if we end up including everything in the obligation of Shiluch HaKein, on the tree, in the ground, so lefanecha b'derech lamalis, and then why do we need it to say in front of you on the road? What are we coming to include? Rishus ha'yachad, rishus ha'rab. We already know everything from all the different areas. What is it saying in front of you on the road? It says the Brayz, lemelcha to tell you ma derech shein kina b'yadcha. It's coming to compare, just like on the road, that the nest is not in your hand, meaning the nest is not prepared for you. It's not acquired by you. Af kol shein kina b'yadcha. So too, whenever the nest is not acquired by you, that's when the obligation is. Mekan Amr, here's where they said the halacha that Yaine, the doves that are out in the desert, which they nested in a shayvich, in a dovekot, or Yaine Aliyah, or the doves in a person's attic, where the Gemara later on the end of the parak is going to ask, what do you mean, if it's in this courtyard, so automatically the eggs are acquired, and if it's considered mezuman, prepared, which shouldn't have it, but that or Vitziparim, or the bird Shekinu Betzvichin that nested in these types of jugs, these small jugs they would have in the walls, actually specifically for these types of birds to nest over there, or Ubebiris, or in the towers of the city, or Vavazn Vitanagun Shekinu Bepardis, or geese or hens that nested in the orchard, meaning they had rebelled and now the nest is not Beyadcha. So that's what we learn now. Chai B'Shaluach, that's where there's going to be obligation of sending away these birds. But if they're nesting in your house, or these, as we're going to explain shortly what they are, these certain types of doves that are domesticated, then you're exempt from sending them away because they're already mezuma, they're already prepared, they're not like what's on the road, which is not in your domain. Now, the Gemara asks, Amamar, the time of the Brisa said, oh, what are we learning out from Baderech Lefanecha? We're learning out where Maderech Shein Kina Biyadcha, just like a road is not in your possession. Of course, in kin biyadecha, also whatever's not in your possession, that's when the obligation is going to be. That's just the Gemara. But halamali, why do you need to learn that from there? Mechi yikari nafka. We already said that you know it from when you chance upon it, which ki yikari prat l'mezumen. When you chance upon it, sounds like that's not prepared. So why do you learn that out from the other words of baderech lefanecha? Now, moreover, that would only tell you from baderech, which is the rishus haram, which is not yours. But lefanecha, the other word in front of you, which we had said that tells you in a private domain in the orchard, lamali. So what do you need that for? Like the Bryce itself had asked, since we're including everything anyway from all these other terminologies, what are you learning out from lefanecha b'rishus ha'yachad? So Elul rather says the Gemara, you're right. It's two different teachings we're learning out from the word baderech lefanecha. Lefanecha, you need to be obligated, lesuye shahoyu lefanecha, to include that which was in front of you, meaning that at one point was owned by the person. Umardun, they rebelled, that even though at one point it was his, now it's not, and therefore that wouldn't be considered something that's mezuman, and therefore he would be obligated. And when it says baderech, that's also necessary, kid Rav Yehuda Merav. Because Amar Rav Yehuda Merav, he said, matza ken bayam. If someone finds a nest on the seas, where what happened was that the sea had a tsunami came and swallowed up a tree, and there was a nest on the top, and now it's floating in the sea. That chai b'shiluach, that there also would be obligation of shiluach hakein, because as the Gemara is going to quote, the sea is also called derech. That's a path, and that's what we're learning from the word baderech. Hashem, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, koyamar Hashem, so says Hashem, hanisin b'yam derech v'koyam, who places in the seas a path, a road. So you see that derech would include in the yam too. So on that the Gemara says, if that's the case, then matzakim b'shemayim. If you find a nest in the heaven, meaning you have a bird carrying a nest in the air, Dechsev, where it says the pasuk in Mishlei, Derech Nesher B'Shemayim, the path of the eagle is in the sky. So, Achanami D'Mechai B'Shaluch HaKen, you think there also you're going to be obligated in Shaluch HaKen, where the heaven also has the wording of Derech in it? Says the Gemara, no, Derech Nesher. That pasuk, all it says is that you have the road of the eagle. That's in the Shemayim. But Derech Stamala Ikri, but the heaven itself is not called Derech, and therefore it would not qualify for Shaluch HaKen. In contrast, by the Yam, by the sea, that's just called Derech. Hanoisin b'yam Derech, and therefore that's where there's an obligation of Shaluch HaKen. Now, related to this halacha, Amr Lei Papunoi L'Rav Masna. They asked him that Matzakin Bereshah Shel Adam Ha'a. What if you find a nest on the head of a person? So he quoted back a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Va'adama al Reishai, and the earth on his head, meaning, even though the earth is on his head, it didn't lose the designation of being called Adama. Meaning, what you see from there is that the Adam, the person himself, is called Adama, which is the earth. And from the fact that it didn't lose its name, because if it loses the designation of Adama, it should be called Ofer. That's earth that's removed from the ground. And from the fact that we call it Adama on his head, Seir also, like the pasuk said, Al Ha'aretz, which qualified Baruch Shechem Ha'aretz, would also be on the head of a person, and therefore that would qualify for Al Ha'aretz, for have the halach of Shaluch HaKein, because that's actually considered earth, like from the ground, on his head, which is an extension of the person that's also Adama. Now, additionally, what they asked from Rav Masna was Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, an allusion of him before he came to the world that he was going to end up coming, Min HaTor Minayin, where is it alluded to in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to come into the world? So it's alluded to in the pasuk in Bereishis, where Hashem says that I'm not going to judge anymore people, B'shagam hu basa, this was by the flood, because he's made out of flesh. And therefore, these are things that happen. Now, B'shagam, in its numerical value, its gematria, is that of Moshe, because you have the shin, and the mem, which is from Moshe, and the gimel and the beis, 3 plus 2 is 5, which is the same as the hey. And it says over there that his days are 120. Now, I know the simple translation of the pasuk is talking about man that he lives for, that it's that there was by the flood 120 years, but that's also referring to how long Moshe Rabbeinu lived, which was 120 years. So it's saying that they will ultimately come to the world, Bishagam, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, that's going to be from those that are going to be born, and that's going to be the amount of his days, which is going to be 120 years. So they asked him, Haman in that time nine. Where do we see from the Torah, Haman HaRasha, that he was going to be, that regarding his, the things related to Haman? So it says, quoting a different pasuk in Bereishis, which Hashem said to Adam HaRishon, who told you that you're naked? Hamin ha'eitz? Whoa, was it from the tree that I told you not to eat that you ate from? So the words hamin ha'eitz is alluding to Haman ha'eitz, that Haman was going to be hanged on that wood that he prepared for Mordechai. So they continued asking. This is Esther in that term 9. Where do you have an allusion regarding the activities regarding Esther Hamalka? So he quoted a pasuk in Devarim, that Hashem says, V'anoichi haster aster, that behold, I will surely hide myself, which talks about the rebuke, that will, the punishments that will befall the Jewish people. In the days of Esther, there was what's called a Hester Panim. Hashem's face was, so to speak, hidden, and that was what the pasuk says, Mitzu, Tsaris, Rabbis, Varaz, they're going to have many difficulties and travails, which they had in the hard times. That's alluding to Esther Amalka in this pasuk of V'hanoichi Hester Aster. And they asked him, Mordechai, in that term, where do you find an allusion to Mordechai regarding that he was going to be the greatness of Mordechai? So the Chassid says a pasuk in Shemais. The pasuk says, when it talks about the spices that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, it says murderer. One of them was pure myrrh. Now, Targumina, the Aramaic translation is mira dachia, because mira is myrrh, and dror, pure, in Aramaic is dachia, is pure. Mira dachia is Mordechai. And the pasuk over there says that was roish lebesamim, the heads of the fragrant spices. Now, besamim alludes to the righteous and to Anshei Knesset HaGdolah in the times of Mordechai. And he was the roish lebesamim, that was the greatness of Mordechai. He had that gedula, which alluded to a miradachi in the murderer in that pasuk. Now, the Gemara continued to explain the halacha of a Mishnah, which we said that if it's not prepared, so then that's when the obligation of Shaluch HaKein is. When the bird is not owned by the person, he just chances upon it. So in that the Mishnah said, Ve'ezehu she'en mezumim, what's considered not prepared, v'chul, etc. Now one of the cases was, that which is an exception to that rule, is yoin nehar disayis, that they're considered mezumim. So we have machlekes Reb Chiya Reb Shimon. Chad toni hadri sayis. One says the gear says, yoin nehadri sayis, with the dalad before the reish. V'chad toni hardisayis. One says the reish before the dalad. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, mandatoni hardisayis, ashem hordis. It's based on the Herodian, which Herdis was the Melech, that he was the first to start having these types of birds, and therefore was called after him. Umandatani Hadrisiois Alshem Akaima was based on the place of Hadrisiois, and therefore that's why he was called that. Now Amr of Kani says, Lididi Chazni says, I saw those birds which were left over from the descendants of the birds, the doves from Herdis, this is Yoini Hardisiois. The Kaiman Shitzadari, and they were 16 rows, Bifsei Mila,
where every row in its length was a width of a mil. Babakari, kiwi, kiwi, and they were calling out, "My master, my master." That's how they were trained, these birds, who were from the king Hordes, that the birds were calling out, "My master, my master." Now, habachad minai dulabakari, kiwi, kiwi. There was one bird that wasn't calling out, "My master, my master." So its fellow bird said to it, this fellow dove, "Suma, blind one," meaning fool, like doesn't see, "Amri kiri kiri, say like the rest of us, my master, my master." So Amr, so that bird said to its friend, "Suma, you're the blind one. Amri kiri biri, say my master," and biri is a terminology of slave, my slave. Because the one that you're calling master is actually a slave, because actually Hordes was a slave, but then he rebelled and he took over and he killed everyone and he became the king. So Asua, so the slaves that still remain from the slaves of Hordes, they brought that bird v'shachtu and they slaughtered it. Now Amr Vashi, he says, Amr li Reb Chanin told me that milin, that just words, is empty words that these birds never spoke. On that the Gemara says, milin sakadaitach, do you really think it was just empty words? But Rav Kahana is the one that says, "I saw this." And Rav Kahana is testifying regarding this. If it wasn't true, he wouldn't have said it. So Elaimer rather says, "No, bim milin. It was through the words of sorcery that taught these birds how to talk, and that's how it was that they were talking." Now the Mishnah said, "If tami patim malishaleich." Regarding a non-kosher bird, there's no obligation of shiluach hakein. Says the Gemara, "Where do we know this from?" So Rav Yitzchak says, "Because the Amakura, the pasuk says, 'Ki yikari kan tzipor lefanecha.' It chances upon you a nest of a tzipor bird in front of you." Now, had it been written oif, the terminology of bird and oif, semashmalam bein tar bein tame, that would have told us whether it's kosher or non-kosher, because we have pesukim like in Devarim Yudala that says, "Kol oif tar teichlu," any kosher bird you should eat. It also says, "Kol sheretz ha'if tamei hulechem," any vermin of the bird is not kosher for you. Like it says, "Teshaktum na'if." So you see that if includes both tar and not tar, meaning not kosher and non-kosher. But since it says tzipor, tar ashkecham dikri tzipor, we only find kosher birds being called tzipor. Tamei l'ashkecham dikri tzipor, we don't find non-kosher birds being called tzipor, and therefore the obligation is only for kosher birds. However, the Gemara asks many psukim that seem to counter-indicate this. Because Tashma says, "Gemara, come in here, where we find a pasuk, it's talking about the prohibition of making images for idolatry. And one of them is the image of a bird." Now, obviously, that prohibition of making an image of a bird would be even non-kosher birds. So, where do you know this from? So the pasuk says in Devarim, "Tabnis called tzipor kanav," the image of any bird that's a winged creature. Now, my love, isn't it telling us here in the pasuk where we including the non-kosher birds? When it says tzipor, that's bein tar bein tame, that's including kosher and non-kosher birds. When it says kanaf, a winged creature, that refers to chagavim, grasshoppers, which are winged, but not birds. So you see that, at least in the word tzipor, we're including also a non-kosher bird. So it's like, well, no, tzipor, like we said, is only referring to tar, kosher birds. When it's talking about kanaf, a winged creature, that's tamim bechagavim. Non-kosher birds are winged, and so too are grasshoppers, but the word tzipor only includes the kosher birds. So the message says, let's bring another raya that seems to be difficult. The pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, "Hachaya v'chol behema," the wild animals, the domesticated animals, "remes v'tzipor kanav," the vermin, and the crawling things, and the tzipor that are winged. And that's what the pasuk says, "Yahalu Hashem Hashem," that all these creatures will praise the name of Hashem. Now, obviously, also the non-kosher birds, obviously, are also going to praise in front of Hashem. So we're hearing this pasuk, is that being included? So the Gemara, my love, isn't it saying, when it says tzipor, that's bein tar bein tame, that's including the kosher and the non-kosher. The kanaf and the winged one is referring to chagav and grasshoppers. You see, tzipor includes also tameim. So the Gemara, no, tzipor, that refers to tar, the kosher bird. Kanaf, the winged creature, is tameim v'chagav, is the non-kosher bird and the grasshoppers. Someone says from another pasuk, Tashma, says a pasuk in Bereishis, which talks about the creation of the older types, which obviously the pasuk has to include also the non-kosher birds. It says, kol tzipor kol kanaf, all birds and all winged creatures according to their species. So where do we see in the reference to non-kosher birds? My love, Kedmachina, isn't it like we had asked before that kanef is chagavim, but the tzipor is referring to all types of birds, even non-kosher, and it says tzipor. So it's like, well, like we answered before, tzipor is only the kosher, and kanef is the non-kosher and the chagavim. So it says, Tashman's being arrived from a pasuk in Yechazkel. Pasuk said, va'ata ben adam, now you, the son of man, emel tzipor kol kanef, say to the birds that are all winged. We're also referring to all the creatures. My love connection isn't like we asked that tzipor refers to even the non-kosher birds. Like Kedush Nino, it's like we answered, tzipor is the kosher and kolkanav is the non-kosher with the chagav. Mar says, Tashman is being arrived from a pasuk in Daniel, as it contains the type of kof mema mar aleph. The pasuk says, v'anfayin, on the branches, yidurin tzipor shemaya, dwell the tzipor, the birds of the heaven. Now here you can answer like the other psukim that to include the non-kosher with kanaf, because here it doesn't say here in the pasuk kanaf, the winged creatures. And obviously we're including here in this pasuk also the non-kosher birds, because they also gather on the trees. And therefore it's being included in the word tzipar. Says Gemara, yeah, but tzipar v'shemai ikru. All you see here in this pasuk, although yes, here the non-kosher birds are being included, but it's only being included in the tzipari of the shemaya. That they're called. But tzipari stamal ikru, we don't find that the regular word tzipari will include also that of a non-kosher bird, and therefore, again, it's still not difficult. We don't find anywhere that tzipar includes non-kosher and non-kosher birds, and therefore the halacha of shiluch hakein will only apply to tzipar, which is for kosher birds.